What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go around the NFL.
In the loop here, going around the NFL. And one of the things that we have learned from HBO's Hard Knocks, I don't know how much y'all have gotten a chance to check this out, but you could argue this has been the most revealing. I don't know if it was intentional or not, or if they realized this was going to be the case or not, but it has turned out to be one of the more, if not the most revealing Hard Knocks maybe ever, certainly that I've seen.
Yeah.
The off-season Hard Knocks with the New York Giants. We've learned a lot. We got some insight into the whole Saquon Barkley discussions over the offseason and them deciding not to pay him, him ultimately going to the Eagles. We got to get some insight into Brian Daboll interacting with the top quarterback prospects in this draft. And then more recently, this week, and these episodes drop on HBO on Tuesdays, we find out that the Giants really did want your rookie, Texans rookie, Kamari Lassiter. You can even see
they're despondent.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
They wanted this guy. You can see on their board how they have him highlighted in such a way. It's like color-coded.
His was blue. Like, they had like several players that were color-coded in blue highlighter.
And blue
and
represented.
And the blues were priority target.
Yeah, blue admit that they valued you overall for your play and your character and just a rave review, a glowing review for you if you had blue. And Kamari Lassiter was one of those. They did not get Kamari Lassiter, and this is what it sounds like with their front office.
Houston taking Lassiter. Corners, man. There you go.
With the 42nd pick, the Houston Texans select Kamari Lassiter, defensive back, Georgia.
So we're seeing a run on defensive backs here.
Nickel. Here's the corners. Run of corners.
In order for us to move up in the second round, we probably would have had to give up a fourth round pick. As much as some of those players we really liked that maybe would have helped us, that were there and maybe went before we picked, the plan was to be patient, and we knew we were going to be able to get a good football player based on our numbers and how the board was set.
In this scenario, the corners were gone. You just take the safety. Good with that? Newman? Okay.
Man. And when you say let the board talk to you, that's what we did. Obviously, we lost Xavier McKinney, and Newbin was one of the guys that we liked. A ton of ball production, a good tackler, range, the ability to take the ball away in our studies at the safety position, that typically translates well to the NFL.
You could hear it in their voices like, oh, he's gone. I'd like to be Newbin.
A couple of things here. If you're Newbin, how do you not take this personally?
Like a consolation prize.
I mean, I don't even know if you could look at it that way.
Yeah.
I would almost feel, consolation prize would almost feel like glass half full. like they like you. They seem really disappointed.
You're going to go Newbin?
The safety.
You're going to go Newbin safety?
This guy?
I guess.
And now you got to go out there. What does it do? Do you think that maybe it lights a fire and it's like, hey, man, even the team that drafted me, not only am I, getting picked later, and I'm picked in the second round, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Not even the team that drafted me wanted me. You know how the players do?
Yeah.
Everybody that went ahead of them, or everybody at their position that went ahead of them and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get down to it and you're like, not just that.
Yeah.
But then the team that picked me, they ain't even want me. Yeah. And not just that.
Well, I mean, they did, but not priority.
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really. They settled.
Yeah.
And not just that. The whole world know it.
Yeah.
The whole world got to see what it looked like.
It's actually very... It's awesome to watch and to see that kind of insight, because that was the war room. If you didn't see the video, but that was real draft stuff right there. It's kind of like, I don't want to use a goofy analogy, but like, can you imagine like Dairy Queen. I don't go to Dairy Queen very often, but when I do, it's for one thing. It's for the soft serve ice cream with some hot fudge on it, maybe a little nuts. Then you pull up and they're like, oh, the soft serve machine's out. You're like, damn.
I damn sure didn't come here for no burgers.
I didn't come here for a belt buster.
Right.
I didn't come here for, I want my soft serve with hot fudge and nuts. Well, but you can have Newbin. I don't want Newbin.
Yeah, man. I didn't come here for no Newbin.
Yeah. I also want to add another thing to that. It's just like, isn't it kind of crazy how a lot of people were bashing, you know, like his 40 time and all that, mm-hmm. and like how they viewed him. The Giants clearly viewed him as their top, like a very good prospect. Like,
no, you're right. There is a certain amount of affirmation.
There is a tremendous disconnect between combine narrative,
yeah.
and how the actual football people view the football mm-hmm. players.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we're like, I remember being in the media room when they drafted him, right? So this was the second round. We're all sitting there. The reporters were all sitting there. And I forget who mentions the 4-6, but somebody mentions the 4-6, and DJ, he's not going to mind me saying this, DJ Bieniemy mm-hmm. from ESPN, who ran track in college, by the way, and is still a fairly decent athlete to be a civilian.
Yeah.
Goes, 4-6.
A civilian.
Like, 4-6. Like, he was personally offended as a fast person himself that this NFL corner that they just drafted was going to run a 4-6 and going to call himself a cornerback.
Yeah.
And all of us were just dumbfounded. We were like, really?
I know. Y'all heard me.
That can't be right.
Yeah.
4-6. But then you hear Nick Caserio talk about him. Like, man, he's not slow. Then you watch him play at Georgia, watch him play out there at training camp, mini camp, all of that. And you're like, man, whatever this 4-6 thing is, mm-hmm. it must just be when he runs by himself. Because when you put a dude out there with him, he looks like he's keeping up. Like, I don't watch him and think, man, he's slow, or man, that's going to be an issue, you know? So, yeah, I'm with you, Chris. I think that speaks a lot to mm-hmm. exactly how the football people view one Kamari Lassiter. Also, as we go around the NFL, Caleb Williams.
All right, this is a good one.
Dude had some nerve, and I think that part of this is him knowing that he's got some cachet there. That's his franchise. He's kind of got him by the you-know-whats, you know, the number one pick. You know, he took a long time signing this deal, reportedly because he wanted to discuss, like, ownership or something absurd, ridiculous. And I think we all anticipated.
Oh, yeah, a piece of the organization.
Caleb Williams was going to be a different kind of cat. I think
it's his generation.
Even amongst his generation, because it ain't like C.J. Stroud ain't in the same generation.
No.
This dude just a different kind of cat. He is. He is that. But I don't know. What you think is too early for him to be telling people to clean up after themselves in the locker room and telling people what to do? It did not necessarily go over well with the rest of the football peoples.
Rooms are still male-dominated, testosterone-laden, type A places where it really is Lord of the Flies. And this is just part of the growing up period for a quarterback who wants to be a great leader one day.
He's Russell Wilson 2.0.
Uh-oh.
This is not going to go over well.
Uh-oh.
If you came in the locker room, I've been in this locker room for 8 years, like you said, and you know, some rookie's going to come in who hasn't played one snap.
Right.
Talking, you know, we're wearing the fingernail polish. You know, now he's going to come in here and tell me, who've been here, who've been through the struggle, that I need to clean up? No, how about rookie? How about you clean up after me?
Right.
How about that? Don't give me this crap. I don't like it at all. I feel like rookies should earn their respect.
Sure.
Just because you got drafted number one doesn't mean nothing to me because I don't even know if you're good.
But I think he's trying.
That was Amani Toomer.
Yeah, man.
Talking about it, torching him. And I might have a slightly...
Russell Wilson 2.0.
Ooh, that's a shot. You want to insult somebody?
Now it's a shot at both. Yeah, obviously, Russell Wilson is not popular among players.
You
want to
insult somebody, call him Russell Wilson 2.0. I have a slightly different angle on this, and maybe it's just as a dad or whatever of adult kids. Like, it's not even about the male-dominated, testosterone-laden, as he put it, locker room. It's not, to me, about, like, these are grown men... prove something rookie. It's about your first real job. Like, you go into your first real job. I'm sure I told my kids some version of this. Keep your damn mouth shut and your ears open. Yeah, maybe he's going to be the leader someday, I guarantee you CJ Stroud wasn't telling people to clean up his first week. It's just like it's your first real job, and the entitlement is what got me.
Well, it doesn't even have to be your first job to me, just if you're new at the job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It could be your second, third, fourth job, but if you are new and there are established figures,
yeah.
Unless you were, and this is where I would kind of slightly disagree with Caleb Williams' situation, and I'm not saying he's the best candidate for this or the perfect figure for this. But unless you were actually brought in to literally shake the table, which I think he kind of was, if we're being honest, Caleb Williams was brought in to bring the Bears out of quarterback purgatory. They have not had I don't know if they've had a quarterback better than Jay Cutler since I've been alive.
Yeah.
You know, like since the 80s.
They haven't.
So, I mean, they're trying to fix that. I understand. Mm-hmm. And Caleb Williams is supposed to be the answer to that. But to your point, Lopez, when you're new on a job,
yeah.
It probably is better to sit back and observe, at least peep game.
Just be a little more respectful.
You were here. Anybody that was here when I got hired here, I bet you y'all probably thought I was quiet as hell. Does Brandon Scott, I probably wouldn't even call me B. Scott yet because I hadn't told y'all that's what they call me. Like, does he talk? Does he do anything? Like, who is he?
But that's the way to do it.
Hey, I'm observing all of you. MFs,
yeah,
is what I'm doing. I'm peeping game to see what I'm working with.
And he may well be a great leader, and they'll run through a wall for him and all that. But that, to me, just hit me different. Like, that's a dude that thinks his stuff don't stink. And you're number one overall. You got a bleep ton of money. You're the franchise, but you're not that yet. It's your first real job. You got to be a little more respectful than that.
How y'all think Patriots fans are feeling right now?
Whew.
It's either Jacoby Brissett, which is probably going to be, and then once he passes the torch, it's this Drake May kid who's got some ability. I mean, he's got some physical tools. I don't want to discredit that. But it does not seem like it's exactly going well for him in his first training camp. Ben Volen from the Boston Globe says that Joe Milton.
Who?
Not Joe Mixon. Okay. Which would make less sense, I guess. But Joe Milton outplayed one Drake May. And then Michael Holly, who's been out there
years.
Forever, written books decades. About the Patriots and all of that, says that he's the ghost of Mac Jones.
Come on now.
Which would you rather be?
The ghost of Mac Jones or Russell Wilson 2.0? 2.0. At least Russell Wilson 2.0 made a lot of money.
I was going to say, at least Russell Wilson 2.0 has Ciara.
And Ciara, yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, I don't know what the ghost of Mac Jones represents. I mean, Mac Jones don't even have Daniel Jones money. You know what I'm saying? So, no. I'd rather be Russell Wilson 2.0. You got to Patriots fans got to feel like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is where we are.
Look, we know it because it happens every year. One of these dudes is going to be a bust.
This one's got it.
What was it, six quarterbacks taken?
Yeah.
One of them, maybe four of them, maybe five of them are going to be a bust.
Hell, all of them could be.
Yeah.
Figure at least one of them is going
to
hit.
I didn't expect Drake May to be that, to be that the leader in the clubhouse so soon for that title.
Remember the controversy of the Falcons drafting Michael Penix Jr.?
Yeah.
After they had obviously given all that money to Kirk Cousins, that was the big draft night controversy. My whole thing was, more than that, you're going to come away from this with the Patriots regretting taking Drake May over Michael Penix Jr. Now, maybe the Falcons still like Drake May and it still is an issue because they take a quarterback after they paid this older quarterback all of this money and we still had that conversation. But I did not mind Atlanta drafting Michael Penix at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Kirk Cousins thing and the fact that Penix lasted that long anyway. Like, I thought he should have gone after Caleb, after Jaden.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I would have taken any rest of those quarterbacks over Michael Penix. And I'm interested to see what that looks like if Drake May is a bust and if, Kirk Cousins is a short-timer as we expect him to be because he's on the other side of 35. Michael Penix comes in there, not too far away from 35 himself, I might add.
Yeah, really.
But got more time left than Kirk Cousins. That'll be an interesting kind of roundabout of how that draft played out.
Life ain't so easy after Bill Belichick, is it? You got Matt Judon. all that stuff.
Matt Judon,
Drake
May situation. Hey, Gerard Mayo better be the leader that they say he is.
Yeah.
He 100% better be the leader that he say he is. Another thing as we go around the NFL, I wanted to see if you caught this. See that fight at Steelers training camp?
That was a real one. It was even better than the one here.
Yeah, I don't know if DJ Bienemy, who called the one here a scuffle, I don't know if he would call this one a scuffle.
Yeah.
But that looked like an all-out brawl, fight. Like, I'm intrigued. Apparently, there was a late hit on Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And that was the cause for the fight. The offensive line stood up for him the way you're supposed to for your QB. And then all hell broke loose. But on the quarterback thing, I am intrigued by the Steelers quarterback situation, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they've got one quarterback, two quarterbacks, or no quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Does that make sense? Between Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, like, I feel like there is a chance that they've got a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a chance that they got two kind of good quarterbacks. But what does that ultimately mean?
Well, the fact that you're asking
tells, means you ain't got none.
Yeah, the fact that you're asking tells you it might be part of the answer. I was intrigued, again, being a little weird here. I was like, I wonder if they'd fight like that for Russell Wilson or if it was just for Justin Fields. Like, hey, you good? Get up. Get up. You good? Get up.
That would be a better question if we didn't all know the answer.
Yeah.
What's that saying where like, if you have two quarterbacks,
you got no quarterback.
Yeah, you got no quarterback.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
They got no QB, man.
Yeah.
They might have none because they've got two, or they might just have none.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know. Like, Russell Wilson appears to
be. They might have none because they got none.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson appears to be washed.
Yeah.
And Justin Fields is an incredible athlete, but has just not figured out that position. Arthur Smith, I feel like, you know, he's their offensive coordinator now, mm-hmm. right? I feel like he should have ideas of what to do with at least one of those quarterbacks, but it's also possible that neither guy is fixable.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, there's just nothing you can really do with these guys.
Yeah.
Well, here's my thing. Arthur Smith couldn't figure out what to do with Bijan Robinson.
Ooh.
Yeah, you forget about that.
Yeah, when that should be that Bijan should be easiest.
Bijan might go off this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's Tomlin thinking?
Yeah.
Like, that would have been my first question in the interview. What was up with you and Bijan?
Yeah.
Did he get your girl or something? Like,
mm-hmm.
why was he not out there and more heavily utilized? Very, very strange.
Yeah.
That is around the NFL here on In the Loop. Coming up next, we say goodbye to a Houston institution. The internet is absolutely going nuts. Sports Radio 610.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got the internet going nuts.
Lopez, you know me, man. I'm a bit of a sucker for nostalgia. I'm not an old man, but the history that I do feel like I'm a part of, I am appreciative of. And so I was a little sad to find out today, as the internet goes nuts right here on In the Loop, I was a little bit sad to find out that Greens Point Mall,
man,
also known by some who are a little bit more
everyone, not Guns just point. Some, not some, by everyone,
some who are more disrespectful to a Houston institution than I am.
Yeah.
Call it Guns Point Mall.
Everyone knows it by that. Everyone knows.
But it wasn't always that. And you know this, Lopez.
Dude,
It was not always Guns Point. It evolved into that. It used to just be Greens Point. It used to just be a popular mall, particularly for the Northsiders. Now, I'll say this. I was not a Greens Point Mall guy. I'm more of a Sharpstown Mall kind of guy, if that makes sense, just because of my geography, where I'm from, the part of town that I'm from.
Yeah.
But I always viewed Greens Point in a similar vein, like their Sharpstown, or Sharpstown to us, like you know, or Greens Point, however you want to look at it. Both places ended up being like rough places to go to, if you will.
So many things to think of, to talk about here. Number one, I'm shocked it lasted this long.
Oh,
like it should have been gone 20 years ago.
And I would say
like 20 years.
And I would question even if it's actually lasted this long. Yes, because if you go by there, most of everything is blocked up. Padlocks everywhere.
So number one, I'm shocked. Number two, you are exactly right. I was going to bring that up. When I first started coming to Houston when I was in college in the 80s, it was the place to go. Yeah. Like it was badass. There used to be a really good Pizza Uno there. I remember I used to eat there all the time. Really good. Like it was big. It was badass. It was awesome. And then somewhere along the way, it took a turn. It took a hard left and it was rough. It was really rough.
A lot of the explanations are inappropriate,
yeah,
and offensive to maybe even y'all's people.
Yeah,
if I'm being honest with you, so we're not gonna do that. We're not gonna traffic down that road. Absolutely not. We're not doing that. But I will say, I am not quite old enough to remember that.
Yeah,
it has always been a little bit of a bleep show. I'll tell you what my Greens Point experience is, because again, I'm a Southsider. Sharpstown was the spot for us. But do y'all remember Hoop It Up? NBA Hoop It Up.
Oh, yeah.
3-on-3. So, like, I did Hoop It Up at Greens Point Mall.
All right.
And I just remember we went up against these guys. So, I don't think we realized we're a little bit older than us. You know, I think I might have been around 13.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys would have had to have been, like, 16 somewhere. And so, they were a little older. They just didn't look it until we started playing. And we're like, you know what? They're a little stronger than us.
Yes.
They're a little bit better. But I just remember being so, it was probably my worst loser moment, like the sorest of loser I've ever been, because I thought we was going to work these guys and it was not happening.
It didn't end well.
And I was so mad I was ready to fight. And I think it also occurred to me that, you know what? I'm not just losing the game. They'd probably kick my ass, too.
I'm losing my pride.
Out here at Greens Point.
I'm losing my pride,
too.
Let
me just take me and my N1 gear, my Hoop It Up gear on back to the crib and just lick these wounds, man.
I just threw those quarters into Home Run Derby.
Take these L's.
When it came to sports, the Home Run Derby with the little ball.
Oh, yeah.
That was my jam right there.
Man.
Sometimes you just got to take that L and move on.
Yeah, you do.
How did it last this long?
Yeah.
Shocked. Hey, Greens Point Mall. Not going to say that we hardly knew you because we had you for 48 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. Greens Point, kind of like Sharpstown in this way. Eventually, like Sharpstown changed the name or whatever it is called now.
Las America.
Is that right?
I'm pretty sure. Last time I remember that.
Yeah. It's definitely something that is not Sharpstown.
Yeah.
I pass by there so much I should know this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny to me how they turn into flea market. Like, I guess Greens Point is just shutting down, period.
Yeah.
But, like, Sharpstown just basically turned into a flea market.
Yeah, well, that's what they are.
I mean,
malls are, you know, come on.
I mean, it felt
Galleria,
like
Galleria, okay.
It felt like a real mall. Like, I differentiate.
Are there any real malls?
What?
Like, I know technically they are, but I mean, like, you go to them? Like, even the King, what's the one up in Kingwood?
I mean,
Deerbrook?
Yeah, man, that's your. So, have you been to the flea market? Like,
no,
I'm saying,
yeah.
There is a. The difference between the mall and the fleet, like maybe it's just a vibe difference.
No,
maybe like aesthetically is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I just avoid malls now. There's no attraction there.
I go just to buy a shirt or something.
Annie Ann's. That's the only reason I go in.
I was gonna say you don't like the food court.
Just get myself.
I got a teenage daughter, man. I could not avoid the mall.
Go to Annie Ann's. Bring me one next time,
man. We be at the mall way more than I'd like to be, but I don't hate it necessarily.
Yeah.
It's all good. But yeah, Greens Point Mall shutting down. After 48 years. Also, didn't notice this, but obviously Sheila Jackson Lee, and we're not about to get political about this, so, you know, Sheila Jackson Lee passed away, and so RIP to Sheila Jackson Lee, and, you know, all the best respects and wishes to her family and all of that. But so over the weekend, I'm taking note of all of the people that are going to be coming in town to pay their respects, including the president, including the vice president. But what I did not know until this morning, peeping game to see who was going to be around, was that Stevie Wonder
is going to be
here. I'm sorry. Look, no disrespect, and this is not a political statement. I don't care what your politics are. I truly don't. I prefer not to know, actually. But Stevie Wonder, the most significant dignitary that came. I don't care who you voted for and who you're going to vote for, who you're glad is is or ain't in the election. Stevie Wonder, talk about burying the lead. I wish I had known that this weekend. I would have even maybe tried to see if somebody else could host this show and see if I could get close to Stevie Wonder.
Man, you just keep taking me back to the 80s. Got Greens Point Mall at its peak. Stevie Wonder, songs in the key of life.
It is an internet.
Where's my MTV? I want my MTV.
This is an internet going nuts.
Yeah.
That is pre-internet.
Yeah.
You get it? Mm-hmm. Like, it is an internet going nuts where we are acknowledging one Greens Point Mall, which probably has not been a pleasant place to be since the internet started going nuts.
This is true.
And then Stevie Wonder, who has had no more than six dreadlocks in his head probably since the internet started going nuts.
Make me break out my weightlifter pants. Oh, yeah, I wore them.
This guy.
I did.
Did you have a fanny pack before they came back?
Hell yes.
My pops had one of them,
I wore a fanny pack with my weightlifter pants.
I remember we used to go to the Casino Cashada out there in Louisiana, and my dad would have that fanny pack on. This tall 6'3" guy, police officer, macho, probably even toxically masculine, whatever the hell that exactly means. He's definitely it. With the fanny pack on. And a whole unit.
Good for him.
Whole Fila or Nike unit or whatever it was back then. Starter unit, all of that. Crazy. Speaking of internet going nuts. Cardi B.
Yeah, what happened?
She finally had enough. She finally had enough of Offset. I got to find some of these, actually.
Yeah.
Speaking of the internet going nuts. The Cardi B Offset jokes. Like, I don't care anything about Cardi B and Offset's relationship. At all. Like, it's their business. But the jokes that people have about it are freaking fantastic. But finally, they got two kids. People have been talking about this. They got two kids, and finally, Cardi B has had enough. Offset went on live with a joint in his hand and just simply said, "Shorty, not my shorty." That's his comment about his wife or however many years it's been and the mother of his two children.
Yeah.
Shorty, not my shorty. Mind you, she's filing for divorce because Offset is one who notoriously can't keep it in his pants. can't do it.
This is all facts.
All facts.
Yeah.
So finally, that's over.
Talk about a toxic relationship, man.
100%. You know what's another toxic relationship as we go? With the internet going nuts here?
What's that?
Laramie Tunsil pocket watch. and it's not because he broke or nothing. We know that Laramie Tunsil has been paid twice now by the Texans. But when Tristan Wirfs got this deal, he...
So fast.
He commented, I feel like before it could even really get good and announced. Like, I wonder if he's just on some, like, player wire.
Yeah.
Where... The contracts, once they get agreed upon, he knows about them.
Mm-hmm.
How does it make you feel that Laramie Tunsil is this much in it for the money? Because it feels like he, you know, we want our football players to love football. I don't know how much he loves football.
Come on now, you know.
I don't. He could love it as much as he loves his mother. He could hate it. I don't know. But what I do know. Is he loves him some money.
He loves him some money. Oh, okay. I'm not saying he doesn't love football. Just answer a simple question. Does he love football as much as he loves money?
Oh, no. No.
Yeah.
And considering how much money he's made, what it's done for him.
Hey, good for him.
Not sure I can
He's still really good at football. Still really good.
Still very, very good. That is the internet going nuts. Right here on In the Loop. Coming up next, tonight is all about Andre Johnson, so we won't lose sight of it. We will talk about the great one, Andre Johnson, next right here on Sports Radio 610.
We're on the road to Canton, getting you ready for tonight's game and Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction on Saturday. Here's In the Loop.
Little bit of news on the Texans and the Astros, actually. One, Kamari Lassiter, rookie cornerback, second round rookie cornerback, going to be a starter, or not going to be, let's just call him now, a starter for this team. We were questioning, hey, should they play? Do you want to see them play? Will they play? All different variations of a very similar question. Kamari Lassiter, not playing.
Yeah.
Not playing.
So if you didn't think he was a starter, if you were unsure he was a starter before, he's a starter.
Yeah, I mean.
Hey, so real quick, I'm sorry. But in a weird way, you know, I was talking earlier, like, I would ask him because, you know, he's been chomping at the bit to want to play. He's a rookie. Of course, he wants to get into a uniform and get into any kind of game possible. I would have asked him, hey, you want to go a series? And if he said yes, I'd have let him. But in a weird way, this is actually even better, you know, in terms of how I feel about him as the starter, because there's no doubt. Like, there's no doubt here. There's no doubt, more importantly, there. He is your, like, I don't know a whole lot about who's going to be where week one at Indianapolis, but I know Kamari Lassiter's starting at cornerback opposite Derek Stingley.
Hey, I gotta be honest about something here real quick. There is something about, like, traumatic injuries in either preseason or training camp that just kind of are a shock to my system. And I came into this show and into some of these segments with one thought, and between, like, putting them down on paper and us actually talking about them, I saw Deontay Foreman. This did not come up in our Around the NFL segment, but Deontay Foreman had a head injury in practice. He's with the Browns now, if I'm not mistaken. And there was a head injury in practice where apparently experienced neck pain. They had to call a hospital or the ambulance. And it was a whole ordeal. It wasn't until that happened to where I was like, you know what? Never mind.
Yeah.
All of the starters. I know I wanted to see this guy. I wanted to see that guy. Bubble wrap all the starters. I don't want to see him. Now, I kept the same energy instead once we came into the show and just, like, stuck with the same themes. But that did get me thinking. I wonder how much it, you know, things like that, like current events, if you will, influence the decision for guys who are on the bubble. Not the CJ Strouds of the world. Not the Will Andersons of the world. Like, people who Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
People you know have no business playing in this game.
Mm-hmm.
But people who are on that bubble, like what we talked about, Kenyon Green, Kamari Lassiter. We had the Jalen Petrie conversation. Kamari Lassiter, clearly not on that bubble.
Yeah.
But I do wonder how current events impact the thinking for guys like this.
I mean, maybe, who knows? All I know is, like, this is leaving no doubt. This is really leaving no doubt whatsoever when it comes to him.
I said it the other day, Lopez, that when the depth chart came out, that's one camp storyline that ended. Well, I feel like maybe we tried to keep it alive for a little bit longer. It's over with now.
Yeah.
Right? It's 100% over with now. Also, finding out from Brian McTaggart that Kyle Tucker, nowhere close.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close to a rehab assignment. There is not an end in sight to this Kyle Tucker-less Astros outfit, if you will.
We said it last week. We can say it in unison again. Dude broke his leg.
Yeah, dude broke his leg.
Dude broke his leg.
I mean, I've never seen him react to anything like that. Mm-hmm. Seen him foul a ball off his leg before. I mean, dude broke his leg.
Yeah.
You and I had this joke actually as well. Like, hey, the next time something catastrophic happens, bone bruise.
Yeah.
Bone bruise.
Yeah.
Look, Dak Prescott's leg is dangling, you know, off the bone. Yeah. Bone bruise. Just call it that.
Is it too early to make a Joe Theismann comment?
We're Joe Theismann.
That was a hell of a bruise.
The weekend, however.
I'm sensing it was a little too soon still.
Probably so. Joe Theismann, bone bruise.
Yeah.
Paul George, bone bruise. Kevin Ware, bone bruise.
Oh, God.
Just everybody with a horrible catastrophic injury calling a bone bruise. But the big topic, the reason why we're here, we're going to watch football. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, Clint Sterner, the usuals are going to break down football pregame, postgame, in between. There will be a football game.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing is bigger than Andre Johnson right now.
No.
That's the story. That's why we're here. He was the first. The Texans are relevant for different reasons right now, for more current reasons. But he was the first to make them relevant, the first relevant Texan. And I feel like the timing of this, them becoming relevant again and their first relevant Texan going into the Hall is perfect. And this is a great opportunity for us to give Andre Johnson his flowers. I've been saying this. I love the fact that Andre Johnson did not have to wait until he was an old man or until his career was sort of forgotten. Like you had to be a certain age to know about Andre Johnson. That's not really the case right now. Like we all were here for it. I am so glad that he gets to experience that at a reasonable time.
Yeah, that to me, that was important today. Because tomorrow we're going to be talking about the game and some of the things we saw and didn't like or did like or whatever. Then all of a sudden you get into next week and it sort of gets lost. And you know this, and Santiago knows this. The first thing I put on the dock last night when we're starting to kind of piddle around with today's show is let's not get lost in anything else. Let's not get lost in a lot of other things today. It's Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson is the reason we're all here. It's the reason they're playing the game. It's the reason, as I mentioned earlier, that the Texans became relevant as soon as they did. And the other thing I was thinking about is like, and this is talking to the old heads. You got to be probably at least pushing 50 to remember Bob Lilly. But he was the Cowboys' Andre Johnson. Like, he was the first draft pick. He was actually literally their first ever. Andre wasn't, but he was their first draft pick that kind of saw the bad times, went through the transition, developed into a Hall of Famer, and was a Cowboys lifer. And you know what they call him to this day? Just even the youngest Cowboys fans say, who's Mr. Cowboy? They'll all say Bob Lilly. So that's why I didn't want to get lost in it. Andre, J.J. Watt is a better player. You know, he will be remembered as a better player at his position than Andre Johnson. But Andre Johnson to me was Mr. Texan. Yeah. Well, like that's the best way I could put it.
Well, also, I think part of that, and not to get too much into the JJ, I'm not trying to pit them against each other, but JJ also played a position that I don't think he relied on somebody else as much for him to be excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Like Andre, and this is part of the story of Andre Johnson, he was able to be great despite the other side of what's needed for him to do his job not ever being great. Whereas JJ could just be individually great, and he didn't need his inside guy to be, you know, whatever, right? Like Andre was able to do this despite the fact that there was at times a turnstile at quarterback, and that his best quarterback was one Matt Schaub. So, like, I think that it was, you know, it's harder for a wide receiver to be great if your quarterback ain't bleak, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Matt Schaub wasn't bleak, but his quarterback situation throughout his career was less than ideal for a Hall of Fame talent. But I'm absolutely right there with you, man.
Yeah.
And when you talk about representation and identity, I mean, nobody is that more than Andre Johnson, like wearing it on his back, the pride that he has in the organization, never abandoning the situation, even when it seemed like it would have been reasonable to abandon it, like never really truly turning his back on it, maybe even at times when he wanted to.
Oh, he said it.
Oh, but he couldn't
in the Astros
really,
game.
Yeah, man. Like it's a.
I didn't want to get drafted by this team. Okay, welcome to the Hall of Fame.
Well, and that was in the beginning. That's in the beginning. But then also think about how things turned out after he was no longer playing. How things ended.
They turned on whatever. He quit on them.
That's
and they
at least
quit on
three
him.
Seminal moments that we can point out where
ahead,
it could have gone south with Andre Johnson.
I know you can't help yourself.
No. I was thinking about this today because I'm trying to think of some things for tomorrow's Payne and Pendergast. By the way, good seeing you guys.
Good seeing you as well.
Very excited for tonight. I was thinking about this yesterday because we'll obviously talk about Andre a lot tomorrow because Saturday's the big day. And like I think of Andre Johnson moments, and it's unfortunate he didn't play in more important games to where those moments really get magnified. You know, Astro fans can talk about all the moments with Altuve and everybody else probably have something to do with a postseason run.
Yeah.
But one of the moments for Andre that popped into my head was in the horrible 2013 season when he walked off the field with about a minute to go in the Raiders game
because
fed up with everything.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know that you could name another Texan, including J.J. Watt.
Get away with it.
That could get away with it. Like, the fans were like, we get it.
Yeah.
We get it, Andre.
Well,
we get it.
Well, and he also barked at Schaub before he walked off, right?
Yeah.
So he gives the bark at Schaub, who, of course, this is 2013. So we all know what Schaub 2013 represents. It was just like getting worse and worse and worse. And so by the end of it, of course, you're like just exasperated. You're just beyond, beside yourself.
Not only got away with it, but was supported vehemently.
He was the voice of the fan that day. Yes, you know, exactly, that's what. I know this weekend's going to be about different moments than that. But when you get
let's not get lost in what this is really about.
Yeah.
This is about Andre.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm glad you pointed that out because I remember it vividly. And normally you would feel like, oh, man, that guy's quitting on his team or he's got a bad attitude. Right. Mm-hmm. But
maybe you should have done the Antonio Brown.
Yeah, maybe so.
Took the shirt off and did jumping jacks.
But the fact that he didn't.
He should have. It would have been a good heat check.
Hey, man, it shows you how much equity he had built up and that he wasn't just like, performing or putting on, even beating up Courtland Finnegan.
Yeah.
It wasn't just because, hey, I'm a hothead and this is, you know, I want to whoop his ass.
Yeah.
It was, nah, this, my man's had it coming and it's time to, it's just time to do this.
Well, that's
why. In front of the whole arena.
That's why I said, like, earlier when we went through his top three moments, in my view, and you can listen to him on the Odyssey app, you know, if you want to go back and listen, I didn't even put that in my top 10 because I know, we all know Andre and I've been around him since he was drafted. He doesn't want that. I'm sure he signed a million autographs. I'm sure he embraces, you know, people laughing or saying, you know, you kicked that dude's butt. Andre Johnson, he doesn't want to be that.
He never wanted to be that. I know, and yet I want a statue of that picture that Brandon's holding up built but outside not, the stadium.
To me, that's not even a top 10. And I know it's not a top 10 for him.
No.
Let me bruh you in a positive way. Bruh. Look at this photo.
Yeah.
Look how epic of a photo. Courtland Finnegan's face is in the grass.
Yeah.
And Andre Johnson is actually showing some restraint. He's like, should I kill him? No, I can't kill him. There's thousands of people that are watching.
I don't know, man.
I'm just going to hit him upside the head a couple of times.
That was a paused video. I'm pretty sure that if we hit play, we ain't seeing restraint. It just looks like restraint because that's where it's paused.
Yeah.
He was, he was raining blows down on
What's
him.
What's your number one? I gave three. I don't know if you were listening earlier. Number three was the Jacksonville, because it was a slip screen, bubble screen.
Yep.
Goes all the way for a
touch. That's in my top three.
That was number three.
Yep.
Number two was the then Redskins game tying catch on a Hail Mary of sorts.
Top three. It was fourth and 20 in that one game.
And number one, I said this earlier, I'm pretty proud. Like the morning after, I was doing morning shows then, I said, I believe it was Nick. What year was it? Anyway, it was a morning show. It was either Vandermeer or Nick. I came in, I said, when Andre Johnson gets into the Hall of Fame, that catch and bulldozing run he made against the Arizona Cardinals.
The Cardinals. Those are my top three.
2010 or 9?
I'll show you the rundown. Those are my top three.
Those are my top three. We played the audio if you want the audio.
Yeah, that's you just saved me about 10 minutes
ago.
Yeah, we played.
We have it.
Awesome.
But I said that's going to be his Hall of Fame moment.
I call it the ping pong. The pinball play where he just bounces off
The last guy to bounce off of him was, I think, Antrell Roll. There's so many roles.
Backwards.
There's Myron and there's Samari and there's Antrell. I think it was Antrell. Might have been Samari. One of the roles, R-O-L-L-E, who went to Miami, was the last guy to bounce off of
him. The first guy weighed 240 pounds.
Dude, it's a wild play, man.
They looked like children. You are listening to KILT, KILT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And after this, you will hear the Texans pregame show with one, Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne. John Lopez and Chris Santiago. This has been In the Loop.
We're on the road to Canton. Getting you ready for tonight's game and Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction on Saturday. Here's In the Loop.
A little bit of news on the Texans and the Astros, actually. One, Kamari Lassiter. Rookie cornerback, second round rookie cornerback, going to be a starter, or not going to be, let's just call him now, a starter for this team. We were questioning, hey, should they play? Do you want to see them play? Will they play? All different variations of a very similar question. Kamari Lassiter, not playing.
Yeah.
Not playing.
So if you didn't think he was a starter, if you were unsure he was a starter before, he's a starter.
Yeah, I mean,
hey, so real quick, I'm sorry, but in a weird way, you know, I was talking earlier, like I would ask him because, you know, he's been chomping at the bit to want to play. He's a rookie. Of course, he wants to get into a uniform and get into any kind of game possible. I would have asked him, hey, you want to go a series? And if he said yes, I'd have let him. But in a weird way, this is actually even better, you know, in terms of how I feel about him as the starter, because there's no doubt, like there's no doubt here. There's no doubt, more importantly, there. He is your, like, I don't know a whole lot about who's going to be where week one at Indianapolis, but I know Kamari Lassiter is starting at cornerback opposite Derek Stingley.
Hey, I gotta be honest about something here real quick. There is something about like traumatic injuries in either preseason or training camp that just kind of are a shock to my system. And I came into this show and into some of these segments with one thought, and between like putting them down on paper and us actually talking about them, I saw Deontay Foreman. This did not come up in our Around the NFL segment, but Deontay Foreman had a head injury in practice. He's with the Browns now, if I'm not mistaken. And there was a head injury in practice where apparently experienced neck pain. They had to call a hospital or the, you know, the ambulance. And it was a whole ordeal. It wasn't until that happened to where I was like, you know what? Never mind.
Yeah.
All of the starters. I know I wanted to see this guy. I wanted to see that guy. Bubble wrap all the starters. I don't want to see him. Now, I kept the same energy instead once we came into the show and just like stuck with the same themes. But that did get me thinking. I wonder how much it, you know, things like that, like current events, if you will, influence the decision for guys who are on the bubble. Not the CJ Strouds of the world. Not the Will Andersons of the world. Like people who you, Stephon Diggs, people you know have no business playing in this game. But people are who are on that bubble, like what we talked about, Kenyon Green, Kamari Lassiter. We had the Jalen Petrie conversation. Kamari Lassiter, clearly not on that bubble.
Yeah.
But I do wonder how current events impact the thinking for guys like
this. I mean, maybe, for coaches. You know, maybe, probably, who knows? All I know is, like, this is leaving no doubt. This is really leaving no doubt whatsoever when it comes to him.
I said it the other day, Lopez, that when the depth chart came out, that's one camp storyline that ended. Well, I feel like maybe we tried to keep it alive for a little bit longer. It's over with now.
Yeah.
Right? It's 100% over with now. Also, finding out from Brian McTaggart that Kyle Tucker, nowhere close. Not even close to a rehab assignment. There is not an end in sight to this Kyle Tucker-less Astros outfit, if you will.
We said it last week. We can say it in unison again. Dude broke his leg. I
mean, I've never seen him react to anything like that. Seen him foul a ball off his leg before. I mean, it. Dude broke his leg.
Yeah.
You and I had this joke actually as well. Like, hey, the next time something catastrophic happens, bone bruise.
Yeah.
Bone bruise.
Yeah.
Look, Dak Prescott's leg is dangling, you know, off the bone. Bone bruise. Just call it that.
Is it too early to make a Joe Theismann comment?
We're Joe Theismann.
That was a hell of a bruise.
The weekend, however,
I'm sensing it was a little too soon still.
Probably so. Joe Theismann, bone bruise.
Yeah.
Paul George, bone bruise. Kevin Ware, bone bruise.
Oh, God.
Just everybody with a horrible catastrophic injury calling a bone bruise. But the big topic, the reason why we're here, we're going to watch football. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, Clint Sterner, the usuals are going to break down football pregame, postgame, in between. There will be a football game. But nothing is bigger than Andre Johnson right now.
No.
That's the story. That's why we're here. He was the first. The Texans are relevant for different reasons right now, for more current reasons. But he was the first to make them relevant, the first relevant Texan. And I feel like the timing of this, them becoming relevant again and their first relevant Texan going into the hall is perfect. And this is a great opportunity for us to give Andre Johnson his flowers. I've been saying this. I love the fact that Andre Johnson did not have to wait until he was an old man or until his career was sort of forgotten, like you had to be a certain age to know about Andre Johnson. That's not really the case right now. Like, we all were here for it. I am so glad that he gets to experience that at a reasonable time.
Yeah, that to me, that was important today because tomorrow we're going to be talking about the game and some of the things we saw and didn't like or did like or whatever. Then all of a sudden you get into next week and it sort of gets lost. And you know this, and Santiago knows this. The first thing I put on the dock last night when we're starting to kind of piddle around with today's show is let's not get lost in anything else. Let's not get lost in a lot of other things today. It's Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson is the reason we're all here. It's the reason they're playing the game. It's the reason, as I mentioned earlier, that the Texans became relevant as soon as they did. And the other thing I was thinking about is like, and this is talking to the old heads. You got to be probably at least pushing 50 to remember Bob Lilly. But he was the Cowboys' Andre Johnson. Like, he was the first draft pick. He was actually literally their first ever. Andre wasn't, but he was their first draft pick that kind of saw the bad times, went through the transition, developed into a Hall of Famer, and was a Cowboys lifer. And you know what they call him to this day? Just even the youngest Cowboys fans say, who's Mr. Cowboy? They'll all say Bob Lilly. So that's why I didn't want to get lost in it. J.J. Watt is a better player. You know, he will be remembered as a better player at his position than Andre Johnson. But Andre Johnson, to me, was Mr. Texan. Yeah. But like that's the best way I could put it.
Well, also, I think part of that, and not to get too much into the J.J., I'm not trying to pit them against each other, but J.J. also played a position that I don't think he relied on somebody else as much for him to be excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Like Andre, and this is part of the story of Andre Johnson, he was able to be great despite the other side of what's needed for him to do his job not ever being great. Whereas J.J. could just be individually great, and he didn't need his inside guy to be, you know, whatever, right? Like, Andre was able to do this despite the fact that there was at times a turnstile at quarterback, and that his best quarterback was one Matt Schaub. So, like, I think that it was, you know, it's harder for a wide receiver to be great mm-hmm. if your quarterback ain't bleep, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Matt Schaub wasn't bleep, but his quarterback situation throughout his career was less than ideal for a Hall of Fame talent. But I'm absolutely right there with you, man.
Yeah.
And when you talk about representation and identity, I mean, nobody is that more than Andre Johnson, like wearing it on his back, the pride that he has in the organization, never abandoning the situation, even when it seemed like it would have been reasonable to abandon it, like never really truly turning his back on it, maybe even at times when he wanted to.
Oh, he said it.
Oh, but he couldn't
in the Astros
really,
game.
Yeah, man. Like, it's a.
I didn't want to get drafted by this team. Okay, welcome to the Hall of Fame.
Well, and that was in the beginning. That's in the beginning. But then also think about how things turned out after he was no longer playing. How things ended.
They turned on whatever. He quit on them.
That's
and they
at least
quit on
three
him.
Seminal moments that we can point out where
ahead,
it could have gone south with
I know
Andre
you
Johnson.
Can't help yourself.
No. I was thinking about this today because I'm trying to think of some things for tomorrow's Payne and Pendergast. By the way, good seeing you guys.
Good seeing you as well.
Very excited for tonight. I was thinking about this yesterday because we'll obviously talk about Andre a lot tomorrow because Saturday's the big day. And like, I think of Andre Johnson moments, and it's unfortunate he didn't play in more important games to where those moments really get magnified. You know, Astro fans can talk about all the moments with Altuve and everybody else probably have something to do with a postseason run.
Yeah.
But one of the moments for Andre that popped into my head was in the horrible 2013 season. When he walked off the field with about a minute to go in the Raiders game,
because
he was just fed up with everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know that you could name another Texan, including J.J. Watt,
get away with it.
That could get away with it. The fans were like, we get it.
Yeah.
We get it, Andre. We get it.
Well, and he also barked at Schaub before he walked off, right?
Yeah.
So he gives the bark at Schaub, who, of course, this is 2013. So we all know what Schaub 2013 represents. It was just like getting worse and worse and worse. And so by the end of it, of course, you're like just exasperated. You're just beyond beside
yourself.
Not only
got away with it, but was supported vehemently.
He was the voice of the fan day.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
That's what I know this weekend's going to be about different moments than that. But when you get
in what this is really about.
This
is about Andre.
For sure.
I'm glad you pointed that out because I remember it vividly. And normally you would feel like, oh, man, that guy's quitting on his team or he's got a bad attitude.
Right.
But
maybe he should have done the Antonio Brown.
Yeah, maybe so.
Took the shirt off and did jumping jacks.
But the fact that he didn't.
He should have. It would have been a good heat check.
Hey, man, it shows you how much equity he had built up and that he wasn't just like performing or putting on, even beating up Courtland Finnegan.
Yeah.
It wasn't just because, hey, I'm a hothead and this is, you know, I want to whoop his ass.
Yeah.
It was, this my man's had it coming and it's time to, it's just time to do this.
Well, that's
in front of the whole arena.
That's why I said, like, earlier when we went through his top three moments in my view, and you can listen to him on the Odyssey app, if you want to go back and listen, I didn't even put that in my top 10 because I know we all know Andre, and I've been around him since he was drafted. He doesn't want that. I'm sure he signed a million autographs. I'm sure he embraces, you know, people laughing or saying, you know, you kicked that dude's butt. Andre Johnson, he doesn't want to be that. He never wanted to be that.
I know, and yet I want a statue of that picture yeah. that Brandon's holding up built outside the stadium.
To me, that's not even a top 10, and I know it's not a top 10 for him.
No.
Let me bruh you in a positive way. Bruh. Look at this photo.
Yeah.
Look how epic of a photo. Yeah. Cortland Finnegan's face is in the grass, and Andre Johnson is actually showing some restraint. Yeah. He's like, should I kill him? No, I can't kill him. There's thousands of people that are watching.
I don't know, man.
I'm just going to hit him upside the head a couple of times.
That was a paused video. I'm pretty sure that if we hit play, we ain't seeing restraint. It just looks like restraint because that's where it's paused.
Yeah.
He was raining blows down on
What's
him.
What's your number one? I gave three. I don't know if you were listening earlier. Number three was the Jacksonville, because it's a slip screen, bubble screen.
Yep.
Goes all the way for a
touch. That's in my top three.
That was number three.
Yep.
Number two was the then Redskins game tying catch on a Hail Mary of sorts.
Top three. It was fourth and 20, and that won the game.
And number one, I said this earlier, I'm pretty proud. Like the morning after, I was doing morning shows then, I said, I believe it was Nick. What year was it? Anyway, it was a morning show. It was either Vandermeer or Nick. I came in, I said, when Andre Johnson gets into the Hall of Fame, that catch and bulldozing run he made against the Arizona Cardinals.
Those are my top three.
2010 or nine?
I'll show you the rundown. Those are my top three.
Those are my three. We played the audio if you want the audio.
Yeah, that's you just saved me about 10 minutes
ago.
We
have it.
Awesome.
But I said that's going to be his Hall of Fame moment.
I call it the ping pong. The pinball play
the
where he just bounces off
of The last guy to bounce off of him was, I think, Antrell Roll. There's so many roles.
Backwards.
There's Myron and there's Samari and there's Antrell. I think it was Antrell. Might have been Samari. One of the roles, R-O-L-L-E, who went to Miami, was the last guy to bounce off of
him. The first guy weighed 240 pounds.
Dude, it's a wild play, man.
They looked like children. You are listening to KILT, KILT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And after this, you will hear the Texans pregame show with one, Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne. John Lopez and Chris Santiago. This has been In the Loop.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.